Once again, it is certainly good to be back here. I want you to know that I was in great turmoil over not being here last Sunday, and the reason I wasn't here Wednesday night, in case you don't know, probably all those who come on Wednesday nights, the faithful ones know, my daughter and son-in-law and my two granddaughters were in town flying back from here, or from Fort Worth, where they were spending Christmas with my son-in-law's mother, and stopped in Denver for a few hours, so we got a chance to visit with them, and that's why I wasn't here. So I didn't give up on you guys. But you know what? It's probably a good thing that I miss once in a while. You know why? Because in this house, the spotlight's not on the one who stands behind this pulpit or this desk. It's on the Lord. He's the one we exalt here, not a man. God can use any old donkey. You thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? Anyway, praise the Lord. God's good. So we exalt Him in this house, not men. And it's the same Holy Spirit that dwells in you that dwells in me. God can use, you know, the Bible says the gifts operate as He wills, as the Spirit and the Father will, not as we will. Amen? You can all say amen, because that's the truth. So, if you, for some reason, decided that things weren't just right here, then your focus was wrong last Sunday. I know God gave Gary really something really good, and I know He used him. And bless his heart, y'all ought to commend him, because I called him at 7 o'clock that morning and said, Harry, I'm not going to be here. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. And so I thank God for Harry. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the God that's in him. Yeah. Oh, it's all right, Harry. I know it's uncomfortable, just like with me. But anyway, the Bible says to give credit where credit's due. We acknowledge and give God credit, but we give God the God in him credit. Amen? Through him. I think that came out right. Well, anyway. Praise the Lord. See, I told you, stammering lips, stammering tongue. Praise the Lord. I'll just remind you all that God, once again, doesn't take the able and make them willing. He takes the willing and makes them able. He's the one who anoints and equips. Amen? Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us to be instant in season. We need to be able to step into any function that we need to step into. Amen? You know, the world calls it cross-training. Amen? We have the same God who dwells in us, the same Spirit. So doesn't the Bible say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? So next time I'll call one of you and say, I need you to preach this morning. Just teasing. I want to remind you again what I said earlier this morning when we first started, for those of you who may not have been here at that time. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God can't keep you. Amen? That's a powerful statement. I don't want to just brush that off. That's not the topic of my message this morning, but I think that's very important that we understand that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you will turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And if you'll honor God by standing while we read that scripture. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. I have been, for a week or more now, arrested by a thought. It's a powerful thought. And I'm going to trust God to be the one who brings this out. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, excuse me. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now I want to go on. You may be seated. I want to go on now. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I want to start with verse 20, and I just want to talk about that for a little bit. But the emphasis is going to be on verse 23. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Amen? Hallelujah. Now that word keep means to guard, to watch over, to keep. And it basically, I mean, it did all of it comes out the same. Every definition that there is comes up with the same things. It's to persevere, to guard from danger, to keep, or to observe, to guard with fidelity, to keep secret, to be kept close, to blockade. And it means a watchman. So we need to guard and to watch, to keep safe our hearts. God speaks to us in our hearts. He speaks to us in our hearts. That's where He comes in. And the spirit and the heart are intertwined. What we need to do as human beings and as Christians, we need to make sure that the Spirit of God is so in control of our spirit that our heart is not in control, but our heart is in compliance with the Word and with God's plan. Amen? Praise the Lord. Merriam-Webster says, to take notice of. To keep means to take notice of by appropriate conduct. To be faithful or to keep a promise. To act fittingly in relation to keep the Sabbath or the Sabbath day. To conform in habits or conduct and to stay in accord with. Amen? And the word heart there, the concordance says it's the inner man, the mind, the will, the understanding, the inner part, or the midst. The mind or knowledge, the thinking, the reflection, the memory, inclination, resolution, determination of will, the conscience, the seat of appetites. There's some positive and some negative things here. We need to be careful. That's why we need to keep our heart with all diligence. The seat of emotions or the seat of courage. In Psalm 119:11 and verse 13, it says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of your mouth. In Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 12, I want to look at that real quickly. It's an admonishment. It's guidance for the young, but it's guidance we can all use every day. Amen? We need to remember this and ponder these things. It says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now, I'm here to tell you that if you're battling with, like I did many years in the past, with self-esteem issues, you're reading right here that by keeping the commandments, by listening to wise counsel, if you bind the word around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and you'll find favor and high esteem. See, your worth is not based on the things out in this world. Your worth is based on what God says about you. You're a redeemed, blood-bought child of God if you've made the decision to serve Him. Amen? There's so many promises that I couldn't begin to talk about them all today. One is the enemy is being at peace with you, your enemies, being at peace with you. That's just one of them. You know, one of the things I struggled with many, many years ago is the fact that I was so worried about what people thought about me. Now, don't misunderstand me. I still would rather people thought highly of me than lowly of me. But the point is, what matters to me, because I know the one who can take my name out of the book of life, I don't fear the one who can take my life. Do I need to say that again? I fear the one who can take my name out of the book of life. I don't fear what man can do to me. The Bible says to live is Christ and to die is gain. Right? Hallelujah. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Where do I lose? It'll cause some grief on this earth for a little while, maybe. Those who may miss me. But the point is that I'm where I've been living and striving to be when this life is over. So in my instance, or in your instance, you've lost nothing. You can say amen. It's all right. You can agree. Come on now. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Honestly. Praise the Lord. Okay. In the sight of God and man, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as the Father, the Son, in whom He delights. Just a footnote here. Maybe some of you wish that He didn't delight in you so much, huh? Oh, come on. My goodness. I think we got some holiday lag in here. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. Most of this is talking about the heart and using wisdom. Amen? Hallelujah. Merriam-Webster calls the heart, or says the heart, is their personality, the disposition, the intellect. You thought it was a thing that pumped blood, didn't you? The emotional or moral as distinguished from the intellectual nature. Let me repeat that. The heart is the emotional or moral as it is distinguished from the intellectual nature. How many know the natural man doesn't receive the things of God? They have to be spiritually discerned. And not only that, when we hear the things of God and when we read about the things of God, when we serve God, we're walking in the moral and we're distinguishing from the intellect. Remember, not too long ago I gave a message about the intellect of man will kill the Word of God. The things of God are spiritually discerned. You can't figure them out. You can't use a slide rule or a calculator and figure them out. You just got to walk in truth. Amen? Walk in the light as He's in the light. Hallelujah. One's innermost character, feelings, or inclinations. The central or innermost part. That's what your heart is. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God bless her. At least she's obedient. Hallelujah. I think we could all say, oh me. You know, there's so many things, so many situations, and so many circumstances that come up in our daily life that sometimes we get a little lost. But the focus is not to stay there, you know? It's not the end. God devised a plan, and when He redeemed us, He took everything that we deserved death for and removed it as far as the east is from the west. He took it upon Himself, and He became that so that we don't have to face that anymore. And when we talk about sin today, we're not talking about the sin that takes a man to hell, which is rejection of Jesus Christ and the work that He did, the sinless virgin birth of our Savior, the incarnate deity, took all of that away, and now all we have to do is strive to please Him. And if we miss the mark, what does the Bible say? It says a righteous man falls seven times and then rises up again. He never said it was wrong to make a mistake. And once in a while, we do. I mean, we're human. Shame on us, but we do let our flesh get carried away. But out of sincerity of heart, if we go and say, Father, I'm sorry. Not sorry you got caught, but sorry that I displeased you. I remember somebody said not too long ago, and I've adopted this. This is really what I strive for. I'd rather die than displease Him. And yet I do. And my flesh, that bothers my flesh, that bothers my carnal heart, my intellect, it bothers me. God, how can you love me when I do these things? But my Bible says, and your Bible says, that His love is, and His gifts and call are irrevocable. Amen? Are you with me? Keep your heart. Keep the things you've been taught. Keep those words. Hide them on your heart, the Bible says in Proverbs 3. Amen? They'll build your esteem. Amen? They'll be health to your bones. Strength to your bones and health to your navel, I think it says. Can the Bible say things like that? I guess it can. Anyway, the things that you've been taught, don't wander from them. Don't let them escape you. Amen? Matthew 15, verses 10 through 13, if you want to turn there. When Jesus had called the multitude to Himself, He said to them, hear and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then He said to His disciples, His disciples came to Him and said to Him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But He answered and said, every plant which My heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. You've heard me say many times, just because you stand in a garage and call yourself a car, that doesn't make you a car. Just because you pour syrup on something and call it a pancake, that doesn't make it a pancake. Just because you stand in a church and call yourself a Christian does not make you a Christian. Your life will produce fruits that are visible to the world to show where you're at. And it's because in your heart you have received the Word and you've hidden the Word in your heart, and you will have the fruits that follow that Word that's in your heart. You keep that Word with all diligence. Amen? Because that's where the issues of life come from. And He answered and said to them, every plant which My heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. That was my point in what I just said. These people went around acting like spiritual leaders, and they were not. Their lives didn't line up with the Word. Their lives didn't line up with what Jesus was teaching. They were arrogant, selfish, self-centered. They wanted to be in the limelight, and they wanted Jesus out of the picture because He was taken away from their worship. Now, you understand what I mean by their worship? Not their worshiping Him, but their worship of themselves. And they wanted men to worship them. I want to read Matthew 12:34 to you. You can follow along if you want to. We all know this is the unpardonable sin, but we're not going to dwell on that. There's this one particular verse. It says, "Brood of vipers," which he called the Pharisees and Sadducees quite often. "How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Now, we just read that it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the man, but it's that which comes out of the man. That's why we hide the Word of God in our hearts, so we won't sin against Him, so that we don't say things that we ought not say. As a young Christian, you start out at a level. We all know that babies first have to be fed and taken care of, and then as time goes on, they begin to become a little more independent. They begin to get their motor skills, and they begin to be more and more independent as they get older. Then all of a sudden, they start to get up on their haunches. They start to move a little bit or scoot across the floor. Finally, they learn to crawl. And then finally, one day, they stand up, and they're able to hold themselves up, and they get strength so they can sit up. And then one day, they take off and start walking. And then we're all in trouble. Not so with God. Although I will tell you that, and I speak from the voice of experience, you can, as a young Christian who's just beginning to walk or a young adolescent in Christ, get a little carried away. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Anyway, it's out of the abundance of your heart your mouth speaks. I guarantee you every time you open your mouth, it'll be revealed what's really in your heart and what you really believe. I remember Stan saying one time many, many years ago when I first met him, when I went to him once myself for counsel concerning my son. And one of the things he said, he said, if you listen long enough to a person, you'll not only hear, first of all, the problem or what the problem is, but you'll hear the resolution or the answer to that problem. You just listen to them. That's why God gave us one mouth and two ears. At least nod your head. Let me know you're still alive. Amen? Praise the Lord. Luke 6:45. This is just an echo of what we just read. A little different, worded just a little differently, but it's very good. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth will speak." What you're living, what you're saying, is going to be expose what's inside of you, who you're trusting. If we're always running around with doom and gloom on our lips, oh, woe is me, I got this problem, I got that problem, nobody's denying the facts, but facts are subject to change. God's not unsympathetic. He understands. But we got to come out of that, and we got to come to the place of maturity where we trust Him with all of our being, with all of our heart, and not lean unto our own understanding as we read, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and then He directs our path, and He takes care of those things. Can I tell you that one of the things we all probably have figured out, and if you haven't, you're probably coming to that place, and if you're not there yet, hang in there, baby, is the fact that when you begin to trust God, there's nothing that God doesn't take care of. Remember what it says in Jeremiah 29:11. Amen? Amen? You need to understand that His thoughts towards you, the thoughts that He thinks towards you, are not negative, and they're not destructive to you. Amen? Amen? We're learning that. That's becoming stronger in us every day around here. We talk about it often. They're thoughts for good and not for evil. They're thoughts to prosper and not to harm you, and to give you a hope and a future. I don't think it's much of a hope or a future if we're subject to the same things the world is, like cancer and emotional distress and mental illness and things like that. We've been redeemed from that. Jesus, by the blood and bruises and stripes that He bore, took all that from us. Amen? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Aren't these the issues of life? These are the things we face every day. We meditate with our hearts. Philippians 4:4-8 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Christ being the anointed one Jesus. "Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." these things which you have learned, verse 9 says, and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. You want peace in your life? Meditate on the things, the good things of God. All of the things we just talked about. You begin to see the fruits start happening in your life. Not woe is me and what am I going to do now, but thank God He's got it under control. Thank God that I'm safe in Him. Salvation means sozo. The word salvation is the Greek word that means sozo, or says sozo. And that means safe. Saved from something to something. Amen? Amen. Means we're totally safe. Hallelujah. And remember, He's not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but power and love and of a sound mind. Amen? Hallelujah. Philippians 4, 4 through 8, we read that. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Supplication. I'm going to tell you off the top of my head, it would like being fervent prayer or praying.
Pleading.
Yeah, there you go. Diligence. We've talked about keep and heart. Now we're going to talk about diligence. Listen carefully. A place of confinement. Prison. Guard. Jail. Guard post, watch, observance. When you're walking and doing diligently what you need to do and remembering the Word, what you're doing is you're placing all of those things hidden in your heart. Remember, in my heart have I hidden your Word so I don't sin against you. You're placing it in a place of confinement or a prison where it can't escape. You become the guard of your own heart with the help of the Holy Spirit. It's a jail where those things are kept locked away. Not where they're not ever used again, but where they're available to be used whenever and wherever necessary. The guard post. And so that you can observe to do them. Merriam-Webster says diligence is persevering application or the attention and care legally expected or required of a person. You want me to say that again? Merriam-Webster says persevering application. That's what diligence is. The attention and care legally expected or required of a person. We dare not take for granted the things that God's done in us. The good things He's given us. Amen? We've got to hide those in our hearts. Keep them with all diligence. Because then, out of your heart will flow good things. And out of your heart will flow the issues of life for you and the answers to the issues of life for others. Are you with me so far? That word issues means outgoing border, a giving out, an extremity, or an end, a source or escape. Let me break it down, make it a little more easy. It's outgoing extremity or used of a border. The example is using like a border. Source, meaning used of life, and escape from death. And isn't that what it's all about? That's not the only thing it's about. I mean, when you get saved, I think sometimes that's about the only thing you think about. I just saved my tail from the fire. But what it's all about is you now have stepped out on a road that gives you the opportunity and the ability to speak to others and give them the reality of the hope that's within you when they ask. So that you can share with them the things that will cause them to keep their hearts with all diligence. Amen? And then out of that heart of the filled with the Word of God will flow the issues of life that will bless other people and will keep them. Amen? Merriam-Webster says, it's the action of going or coming or flowing out. That's what issues is. The final outcome that usually constitutes a solution. When you're in trouble, or you've got something facing you that's tearing you up, it seems like, Lord, you just left the scene. I don't know what I'm going to do now. What am I going to do now? Maybe you cried that out. By what you keep in your heart, and by what you put in your heart, and what you meditate on, it'll be the action of going or coming or flowing out. The final outcome that usually constitutes a solution or resolution after consideration. Another word for consideration at this point I would think would be meditate. Meditate on His Word. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. And you will observe to do all that it says. For therein you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. There's a lot to that. It doesn't just mean meditate on the word and you're going to come out all right. It's one of the key things in that is you've got to observe to do all that's written therein. And then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. And then finally, the word life. The sequence of physical, this is from Merriam-Webster, the sequence of physical and mental experiences that make up the existence of an individual, one or more aspects of the process of living, or the spiritual existence transcending death. Woo! Transcending death. The spiritual existence transcending death. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what we're talking about here? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. What issues? When you're an unbeliever, the issues are, I'm sick, I'm broke, I'm busted, I'm disgusted. But when you're a believer, you all of a sudden have been given the focus of hope. It's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. That's what it's all about. Isn't that what keeps us going? The Christ in us? It's the hope of us seeing and experiencing glory, not only in heaven, but on this earth. Amen? Hallelujah. What a way to start the new year. Keeping our hearts with all diligence so that the issues of life don't rule us, but we rule the issues of life with the sword of the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glass isn't half empty, folks. It's half full. And we make it available and stick it under that fountain, and all of a sudden it starts to get full to overflowing. And when it does, it spills out on other people. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I preached myself happy this morning. How about you? Did God touch you this morning? I'm telling you, man. Did He give you some new insight as to what that scripture says? Or did I lose you? Don't everybody answer me at once. I won't be able to handle it. Take some meditation. You're going to have to meditate on that. God's good. And He's given us everything, everything that pertains to life and godliness for our success, according to Joshua 1:8. But it takes keeping our focus in the right place. Meditating on the Word day and night. Guarding and keeping our heart diligently. Hallelujah. Y'all didn't answer me a minute ago. I got to know before we leave here today that y'all understood that I didn't lose you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Onward and upward. Glory to God. Glory to God. It takes the Holy Spirit in Christ to be the co-laborer with you. See, when you make a decision, then God comes on the scene and He enforces and backs up that decision because you made it. He won't force you. That's why you need to understand the will of God will never take you where the grace of God can't keep you. Amen? Hallelujah. We serve a wonderful, great, big God. And you know what? He's not just up there waiting for you to fail. He's up there waiting to step on the scene where you need a little boost. See, people in this world, they look for you to fail. And they'll use your failure to elevate themselves. That's not God, folks. I don't care what you've experienced in your life. I don't care what things have happened to you. Those are circumstances and they're facts, and facts are subject to change. But the Word of God is bound forever. He tells us that not one jot or tittle will pass away till all is fulfilled, and that He can't lie. Like the song says, what He said, He will do. But that's based on your compliance and your decision. Amen? I've made up my mind. I'm going to keep my heart with all diligence this year. I'm going to trust God more than I ever have before. And I expect to see tremendous victory in every life in this house, because of this word that God gave. Amen. Hallelujah. So no matter what you see or what you hear out there, and let me tell you, bad news seems to turn up like a bad penny. That's kind of why, for me, I don't listen to the radio except for music. And I don't read the news. I don't listen to the news. Because I'm trying to stick my head in the sand? No. Because I know my future is sealed and locked up. We talked about that this morning. And I don't care what goes on around me. It doesn't change the Word of God one little bit. It doesn't change where I'm at with God. Only my decisions and my thoughts change those things. Nothing else is able to take you out of His hand. Amen? That's the truth. He is truth. Amen? Truth is a man. It's a person. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm ready to face another year, starting with the rest of today. And then tomorrow morning, getting up with new mercies, new salvation, a new touch from God, a renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what, it's just like you get, once you get plugged in, you stay connected to that power source that keeps you energized all the time. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. We give You praise. We give You praise. We worship You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that Your ways are higher than our ways and Your thoughts higher than our thoughts. But Lord, we also thank You for revealing the mystery of Your Word to us, Lord. For giving us insight into who You are, what Your plan is, letting us know how You feel about us, who we are, and what we have in You. Oh, we extol You, Lord. We worship You. You, Lord, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not just talked about, but seen and experienced in everyday life. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Let Your glory roll into this house. Let Your glory touch every person, Lord, today. Not just today, but from here on out until You come back to receive us, to bring the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, and the new earth. We love You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You expose the things in Your Word to us so that we won't be ignorant, and so that we can stand against all the attacks of the enemy, and so that we can give an answer when asked of hope, the hope. You're the hope that's in us, Lord. You've begun a good work in us, and You're finishing that work. We thank You for that. We declare that, Lord, because You are the Alpha. Now we give You place, Lord, to be the Omega in our lives. The first and the final word. The first and the final authority in every situation and aspect of our life. We love You, Lord. We give You praise. We worship You today. We acknowledge You, Lord. It's not about us. It's about you. It's about others, Lord. That's what we're here for, Lord. For you and for others. To be that light. To be that salt. To be that touch. To be that beacon. It says, this is the way. Walk in it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, I speak. And I say, Lord, let your face. I thank you that your face does shine upon these people, Lord. That they are the apple of your eye. And that nothing shall by any means hurt them, Lord. And nothing will take them out of your presence. And that nothing can separate them from your love. Nothing. Physical. Principalities. Powers. Things present. Things to come. Nothing can separate us from your love, Lord. And your love is what brings us to maturity and to a deeper and more full walk with you. You are the one who is fulfillment, Lord. A life lost in you. Fulfillment's not the things we experience in this world, marriages and business success or jobs. You're the one who fulfills everything in our lives. You are the fulfillment of everything in our lives as we surrender to you. Thank you, Lord. We ask you to bless the fellowship today, Lord. Bless those who can and those who can't come, no matter where they go. I thank you, Lord, that you go with us all. And even though we may be separated by distance, we're not separated spiritually, Lord. And you're with us always, even until the end of the earth. Thank you for this day. Now seal your word in our hearts. That those words that don't line up with you, Lord, with your word, fall to the ground. Thank you, Jesus. Bless these your people as they go their way this week. Let this be the beginning of the first day of the rest of their lives and the biggest blessings they've ever experienced in their lives this coming year. For this, I thank you. In the name that takes dominion over every other name, the name of Jesus. Amen.